This is Annie Stevens Gleason, Minister for Worship and Incorporation at the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd like to welcome you to our worship podcast.
Greetings and good evening. This is Reverend Gary Lubin, serving as deacon with the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome to our daily devotion in the early evening for individuals and families from page 139 of the Book of Common Prayer. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. Now let us begin our worship together. O gracious light, pure brightness of the ever-living Father in heaven, O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed. Now as we come to the setting of the sun and our eyes behold the vesper light, we sing your praises, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices, O Son of God, O Giver of life, and to be glorified through all the worlds. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." Then he left them and went away. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They said to one another, "It is because we have brought no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said, "You of little faith, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How could you fail to perceive that I was not speaking about bread? Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he had not told them to beware of the yeast of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Gospel of our Lord. Well, good evening. What did you think about that reading from Matthew? It seems that no one in the establishment likes Jesus, but rather despising and rejecting him, just like the prophet Isaiah predicted, and as is sung in Handel's Messiah. As a matter of fact, at this time in Jesus' career, the very unlikely pair of Pharisees and Sadducees have now come together to gang up on Jesus, their perceived common enemy. And it is no wonder. After all, Jesus tells his disciples, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees," by which Jesus means to beware of those kinds of teachings, preachings, and plotting which yield bad bread, or just gooey glump of dough that will not rise, not bread at all. But what can we learn from Jesus' warning? Because aren't we all just a little bit like those Pharisees and Sadducees who we like to berate? So, the Pharisees were perhaps just a tiny bit overbearing in creating over a long time and interpreting and enforcing a myriad of purity laws with good intent as guidance to help genuinely good, Yahweh-fearing people to follow the Torah. but turning out to become a rigid and burdensome set of regulations and rules controlling the minutiae of everyday life, well, in order to preserve a Jewish way of life, for what they thought was a good reason, to keep it separate and distinct and safe from the contaminant pagan culture that surrounded them, you know, like the Romans and the Greeks. Now, how might that ring a bell in today's culture wars? Anyway, being true to their name, the name Pharisee comes from a Hebrew word which means to separate, or, you know, segregate. However good intentioned they were, Jesus denounced them acting hypocritically because over time, those rules and regulations instead created barriers of separation, stymieing people's ability to love and be loved, to love God and to love one another. Now, the Sadducees were wealthy aristocrats, very practical, being compelled to rub elbows with the Roman establishment in order to maintain their priestly upper caste. In contrast to the Pharisees, they believed in only the 5 written books of Moses, no oral tradition for them, and they did not share the Pharisees' belief in angels or spirits or the resurrection of the dead or in a Messiah. The Sadducees were power brokers, and they saw Jesus as a threat. I conjecture that in cooperation with the Romans, they felt compelled to keep the riffraff under control. And yes, they were spot on. Jesus was a threat. So how is the authentic Jesus, not the co-opted one that many think about, but how is the authentic Jesus a threat to the establishment in today's society? The Pharisees, Sadducees, tag team opposed Jesus as Messiah, and they oppose the message of inclusivity, of being beloved community, as it were. But let's not pick on them too awfully much, for they are examples for us. A really good question to ask ourselves is this: who are the Pharisees and Sadducee-like folks in our society and in our church? Like I said, after all, that kind of thinking and behaving is not at all unique to that time and place. At all. Well, in that time and place, the Gang of Two apply pressure on Jesus to perform. And his neck is on the line. They want a really, really big show, a big sign from heaven. And as we are told, quote, to test Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven, end quote. But surely, don't they know about Jesus' baptism? I mean, gosh, that was really, really a big event at the beginning of his ministry. And Jesus and his disciples have just returned from, quote, the other side of the Sea of Galilee, you know, where the pagan Gentiles live, the other side of the tracks, as it were, where he performed many miracles of healing and feeding of the bodies and spirits of thousands of people. Gosh, and as far as that goes, Jesus has been performing all along on their side of the lake, those very same miracles for the Jewish people. Jesus asks the disciples themselves, do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? These many signs do reveal Jesus' identity and the inbreaking of God's reign. So, all that being said, I wonder why they did not recognize these signs. As Jesus points out, they know as well as you and me that a red sky at night means sailor's delight, and a red sky in the morning means sailor take warning. Yes, Yes, red skies, signs. What are the signs of our times? What colors are our societal skies? Speaking of signs, the Greek word Matthew uses to describe what the establishment is doing is the same word used to describe the devil testing or tempting Jesus in the wilderness. So then, what they are really trying to do, I think, what they're really trying to do is trap and discredit Jesus, right? Now, before leaving them to stew in their juices, Jesus says the only sign they will see is the sign of Jonah. Remember Jonah in the belly of that big fish? Jesus is referring to his own burial and resurrection. Which becomes the sign for all times, for all people. And the dynamic duo knows full well the story of Jonah, who only very reluctantly preached repentance to the pagan Gentile Ninevites, who he despised. And to Jonah's dismay, the Ninevites readily repent, accepting God's forgiveness, which moved God to repent, a sign foreshadowing Jesus' mission of love for all people. Again, what are the signs of our times, especially in this election year? Here we go again. Who is in need of repentance and repentant behavior? Well, I guess all of us. The signs Jesus did perform were not a circus act. The signs Jesus did perform were real life acts of grace and mercy and justice for all people on both sides of that lake, his own people as well as the Gentiles. Jesus loved them all and loves all of us. And Jesus has a special place for the Pharisees and Sadducees among us. And that is the good news. We should delight in the generosity of being fed by God and the freedom brought from that table. Now, maybe there will be a time when we don't think in terms of taking sides, but only of being on God's side. And in spite of our ongoing contemptuous times, there are hopeful signs all around us because God's love does abound. There have been many, many heroes during these times, just doing little things. Who do you think of as a hero? People acting selflessly for a greater cause, imitating Jesus' works, his acts of compassion, living examples of how to live together, keeping the faith, praying together, giving people hope and fellowship, supporting the church, working for justice, sharing the love, grace, and mercy. Although being apart, we can come together as a beloved community. Amen. A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. It is not ourselves that we proclaim. We proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the same God who said, out of darkness let light shine, has caused his light to shine within us, to give the light a revelation, the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us now take some time to pause our worship together, if you need to do that, to offer up our prayers of intercession, thanksgiving, and praise for the world, for the church, for our national life, for the social and natural orders, for family and personal life, and in particular for those who are suffering and those who have died. Let us now say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the collect for Proper Five. God, from whom all good proceeds, grant that by your inspiration we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding may do them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now let us say together the collect for the human family found on page 815 of the Book of Common Prayer. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and all the peoples of the one human race may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us say the collect for social order and social justice, found on page 823. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart, and especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatred cease, that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the concluding collect. Lord Jesus, stay with us, for evening is at hand and a day is past. Be our companion in the way. Kindle our hearts and awaken hope, that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture and the breaking of bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen. Now let us go into the world in peace, hope, and joy to seek and serve God, being and doing God's grace, mercy, and justice, to reconcile, heal, liberate, and serve, doing everything in love.